Well, as I've been getting ready to start a new series in Galatians, I went back and revisited some old stuff. Go back a few years, and I come up to a sermon I was going to preach, and I look at it and say, how in the world did I ever preach that in one Sunday? So this will probably be a two or three parter, but it's one that I think is important, and I need to set context as well after we do get started. I want to talk about testimonies to Christ, and we see in John 5 as the Lord dealt with primarily some of his detractors, his unbelieving enemies. In John 5 and verse 31, the Lord says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man. For these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me. And the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, self which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come from my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trusted. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Again, the Lord spoke these words to his unbelieving enemies. And what they set forth, and what I want to do here next week or two, or however long it takes, as we look at the testimonies of Christ, we see a monument erected to the depravity of mankind. The testimonies that there are unto Christ, and yet man will not, and man cannot receive them. The Lord said, you will not come to me. Before he spoke these words, immediately before, really, he had healed a crippled man. And he had upset the traditions of the Pharisees. He had upset the religion of the day. And for that, they sought to kill him. John 5 and verse 16, a few verses up. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Well, they made up their own rules and regulations. They made up their own religion upon the revealed religion of the Scriptures. And the Lord didn't pay much attention to that. And they didn't like it. He went on further to enrage them as he asserted who he was. In John 5 and verse 17, we continue. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Brethren, his enemies, these unbelieving Pharisees, they understood some things that liberal Christianity doesn't understand today. They understood some things that the cults don't understand today. They understood that Jesus Christ asserted his deity, that Jesus Christ asserted his equality with the Father. They didn't embrace it, but they knew he asserted that. And yet in liberal Christendom, you'll hear all sort of things, and we'll get to that eventually, but you know, say, oh, well, he's a good man. And Brother Howell talked about the Lord's example, but it's much more than an example. You know, it's an example for us as believers. But his atoning death, his death on Calvary, it is finished! He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good... He couldn't have done those things, you see, and I'll get to that. I always get ahead of myself when I'm preaching, but... You know, and I won't probably get to that part today, so let me tell you. You know, here's Jesus Christ. You know, and this is an old assertion. It's not new with me by any means, but here's Jesus Christ. You only have three choices relative. He's either the Lord, who he said he was. He's a Lord God Almighty. He's God incarnate. He's God in flesh. Or he's a liar. He knows he's not God, but he says he is. He knows he's not the Messiah, but he says he is. Or he's a lunatic. He says he's the Messiah, and he really thinks he is, but he's not. There's no room in there, and there's not intended to be any room in there in the Scriptures to say, oh, he's a good moral man. A good moral man is not a liar. You know, if he's not the Lord, he can't be a good moral man. Because of the things he asserted. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Is that true or not? You know, a good moral man? If he says that, it's either true or it's not. If he does, if it's not true, he's not a good moral man. So when you face Christ, and what he was setting this before these men as well. And again, it's a monument to the depravity of mankind. Because they cannot and they will not on their own come unto him. Lord, continue on down in John, where we are in John 5, and pick up in verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, the Father raises up the dead and quickens them. Throughout Scripture, we see man portrayed one way. He is dead in trespasses and sin. He dead! All the modern religion would have us think, well, he's kind of sick. He needs a little bit of spiritual medicine. He's dead. Oh, well, he's wounded. He needs a little bit of spiritual first aid. He's dead! You know that old illustration that you've all heard 100 times? You know, it's like the modern gospel and whatever it has. Man, there's a deep and dark pit, and man is at the bottom of it. And the modern gospel preacher throws the rope down and says, grab the rope and we'll pull you up. Just grab the rope. We've done our part. All you got to do is take the first step, grab the rope. One problem. The fella down there is dead. He's dead. That's the problem with mankind. That was the problem with these. They're dead. They're dead in trespasses. They're spiritually dead. They cannot hear. They cannot receive. They're dead. Folks say, oh, Jesus did his part and you just got to do your part. What is part of a dead man? He can't do anything but stink. You know, grab the... No. Until the Holy Spirit gives him life. See, most gospel, so-called gospel preachers, they turns it upside down. Well, if you'll just do this, if you'll just believe and repent, then God will give you life. Well, how does that work? No, if God gives you life, you will believe and repent. He gives you life and he gives you the gifts of repentance and faith. Repentance and faith don't work the new birth. Repentance and faith are evidence of the new birth. That guy's dead. Okay, that's the Lord's point with these Pharisees. There's these all these five testimonies to me, but you won't receive them. You won't hear them. Because you're dead. Spiritually dead. You cannot receive them. You cannot hear them. And again, down in verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, gives them life, quickens, means to give them, he raises up the dead and he gives them life. Even so the Son quickeneth who decides he wants to be. No, quickeneth whom he will. Quickeneth whom he will. The Lord knows those that are his, and he quickens them. I hate to break it to you, and I'll get into it more. It ain't up to you. It ain't up to me. True Christianity is the only religion in the world that you don't choose. You're chosen to it. And there's nothing to boast in because of that, because we're totally unworthy. But he chose his own. He chooses his own. And he quickens whom he will. You know, not who... You know, Monty Hall. Come on down. Let's make a deal. Most church services today. Come on down. Don't work that way. He does it. Even so the Son quickeneth, makes alive whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which sent him. And so in our text here, the Lord sets forth these five testimonies to his person, to his deity, to his work, in which the religious people of that day all ignored to their own damnation. And those who ignore those testimonies today face the same fate. But they could not and they would not receive them, because apart from the quickening of the Spirit, those testimonies are meaningless and worse, you know, to fallen man. The Lord quickens whom he will, and he draws them to him. The Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And we got this picture out there in most of Christianity today. Here's God up there just wringing his hands. And, oh, man, I sure hope that fellow will make the right decision. I sure hope he'll come. I sure hope he will. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, the angel said, before his birth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, he's going to do all his part and the rest is going to be up to them. No. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm getting off track, but who cares? You don't know I'm getting off track. You don't have my notes, right? So, the Lord was talking to the Pharisees, you know. And he told them, he said, you believe not. You believe not because you're not my sheep. That's what he told them. Straight up in John. You believe not because you're not my sheep. He did not tell them, like most of the modern so-called gospel preachers do. He did not tell, boy, if you just believe, then you could be my sheep. He didn't say that. He said, you believe not because you are not my sheep. And he said, he went on further. He didn't say, like most modern preachers would have you believe, I died for everybody, and everybody gets a chance. I kept getting offended this last week or so from some evangelist, whatever he called himself, talking about how everybody gets a chance. I don't want no chance. You know? If I got a chance, I'll mess it up. You know? But if he says it's finished, and he did it, it's done. Oh, I forgot where I was going. Anyway, he's talking to the Pharisees. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. So you're not my sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Listen, Christ knew exactly what he was doing. And he accomplished exactly what he intended. Now, I'll say this. I have no idea what an elect man looks like. You know, I talked about, you know, somebody's got a ministry to the Muslims. God probably has some elect amongst those people. He'll draw them to himself. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they look like. I know this. If I'd have saw old Saul of Tarsus, before he became Paul the Apostle, when he was out there persecuting the church, when he was being consenting to the death of Christians, when he was locking up Christians in jail, you know what I would have said? I'd say, that man's a reprobate. He's just a reprobate. There's no way he's a child of God. And yet, on a road to Damascus, God knocked him flat of his face, gave him life, blinded him, but at the same time opened up his eyes that he could see, opened his ears that he could hear. Set before I get to the testimonies themselves a little bit in context, and I may not get to them today, but anyway. These five testimonies that the Lord sets forth, and you, as we read through there, you probably picked some of them up. He said, you know, I testify myself, John testifies, the Father testifies, the Spirit, so forth. These testimonies, until the Holy Spirit has done His work, fallen man cannot and will not receive. That's kind of deflationary to the human ego, you know. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, the unregenerate man, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Another of my well-worn illustrations, but here you go. You know what? You can believe me or not, this room is full of radio waves. Anybody hear them? Don't raise your hand. Just scare me. But I don't have a receptor. You know, if I turn a radio on, if I had the right equipment, probably a day will come, they'll be wanting to implant stuff in people, and they'll have a little hand. You probably won't need an antenna, but you'll have some receptor. I could hear. But this room's full of radio. You couldn't prove it by me. I can't discern them. That's the way the natural man is. You know, it's all there. It's real. Radio waves are real, I think. I know the Lord's real. I think radio waves are real too. But I can't see them. I've never touched one. I've never held one. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned. Neither can he know them. They don't have the right receptors. They're dead spiritually. Oh, they have eyes and they see. They have ears and they hear. But they don't have eyes to see. They don't have ears to hear. Like that man that was in the pit. And it didn't come from them. It didn't come from what they decided. It's the same message. The Lord here says there's five testimonies. You go all the way back, the Lord said to Moses and so forth. There were testimonies to Christ. We preach one message. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, the apostle writes, but we preach Christ crucified. Okay, it's the same message. So, okay, it's not you, but it's not me either. See, some preachers take a lot on themselves, and it's like, man, you know, I want a bunch of folks to, well, what is wrong with you? You didn't do nothing. The Holy Spirit does it. He's pleased to use us. He gives us the privilege to bring light to where He's already brought life. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Listen to what he says. Under the Jews, a stumbling block. You know, they're like throwing something down in front of them and they fall down. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. See, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. It's a stumbling block. It's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. God, it's not the preacher. It's not the recipient. It's the Spirit of God. It's the work of God. Same message. See, we preach Christ crucified. Oh, this fella, it's a stumbling block. See, this fella, It's foolishness. But to this fellow, it's the power of God, because the Holy Spirit gave him life to hear and to receive. Over in 2 Corinthians, again, one of my favorite passages, down over in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, Paul says the same point. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make known the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So God's pleased to make manifest the knowledge of Christ by us every place. But he goes on. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. As we proclaim, as we obey him, as we proclaim the gospel of Christ's completed work. He says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. And he says this, and them that are saved, and in them that perish. You know, again, you hear all these modern day preachers, though. Man, there's like 50 people got saved and God was glorified. People don't get saved. Number one. Nothing bothers me anymore in that phrase. God saves people. People don't get saved. It's not something that just happened. You know, God does it. But Paul says it. We're a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. God is glorified by the proclamation of the truth. I'm not accountable for the results, thank God. He is. And he'll accomplish exactly what he wants to. And it'll be the perfect thing. We're a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are perish. To the one, we are a savor of death unto death. Again, the same message, the same proclamation, the same gospel. To the one we're a savior of death unto death, to the other a savior of life unto life. And Paul says, and who is sufficient for these things? Paul just like says, I bring it up to the modern day. I'm not going to make my own translation up. But anyway, I think Paul just says, wow. It's the same message. To the one, it's a savior of life. To the other, it's a savior of death. Who's sufficient for these things? It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. The same message. God is the one that determines the difference in the results. And I'll give you one example of this, and we looked at this a couple weeks ago, actually. An example again of Simon Peter. Jesus looks at his disciples. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who are folks saying I am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So who do folks say that I am? Oh, well, some of them say you're a good man. You're a good moral man. Some of them say you're a good example. Some men say you're a prophet. And he saith unto them in verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for you figured that all out by yourself. No, he didn't say that. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for you went to seminary and learned all that. No. No. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen, if anyone knows who he is, it's all by the grace of God. It's by the revelation of the Father. Otherwise, it's foolishness. It's a stumbling block. It doesn't come any other way. And I'll close with a verse and we'll pick up next week, I guess. In John 1, the apostle writes, but as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Again, the manifestation, receive him by his grace are given the power by him, not by themselves. And he says this, which are born not of blood. Doesn't have anything to do with genealogy. Doesn't have anything to do with, you know, who your mama was, or who your grandpa was, or who your people were. I'm glad who my mama was, my grandpa was, who my people are. But that doesn't cut it. Which were born not of blood. Not of blood. Literally, blood there is plural. It's not of bloods. And some apply that beyond just genealogy and you know in our background to all the bloods. And of course, Paul mentions it in Hebrews. You know, the blood of bulls and goats can't wash away sin. You know, all the blood of the old covenant that didn't do anything either. Which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Brother, that is the death knell to free willism. Nor of the will of the flesh. You know? Well, it's up to you. You know? And I hear some of the blasphemous things if you know anything about Scripture. You know? So, well, you know, Christ did his part and you got to do your part. Or else, you know, well, here's, well, Christ voted for you and the devil voted against you and you got to cast the deciding vote. What? Explain something to you. Scripture says we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That election took place a long time ago. The devil didn't get a vote. And you weren't old enough to vote yet. No, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not free will. Man has a fallen will. Man has a depraved will. Man has a broken will. Holy Spirit fixes man's willer. Folks say, oh, you all believe, you know, that God saves people against their will. Oh, we don't believe that. But if they want to think I believe that, that's fine, because I often talk about Paul on the road to Damascus that you know, God violated his will. But not really. He fixed his willer. Yeah, it's like the guy at the bottom of the well. You know, as soon as he's given life and he's awake and he says, man, I'm at the bottom of a deep, dark well and there's nothing I can do about it. Then he hears the gospel. And you say, grab the rope. They'll be halfway up it. You know. That's how we bring light. We bring light where God's already given life. That's all we can do. He's pleased to use us and to do that. And then that person exercises repentance and faith, which are gifts of God. Ephesians tells us that. They're gifts of God. But he exercises it then. He's alive and he exercises it. So the Lord allows us to enter into that, to be a part of that. Our conversion, you know. But prior to that, to throw out the word monergism, but you know, it's all God. It's one-sided. But you're born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. And they're speaking of other men, your family or whatever. We can love our kids as much as we want. We can love our people as much as we want. Paul is over in Romans when he talked about, you know, he said, I could wish myself accursed for my own people. But it don't work that way. You see? Nor of the will of man. It's not of blood. It's not of flesh. Nor of the will of man, but of God. And we often get conversations here, you know, those two wonderful words you find out throughout Scripture. But God. But God. You know, that man was dead at the bottom of the well. But God. And God's people, God's elect, as he brings them to himself. Well, Lord willing, we'll continue on next week and actually begin to look at these five testimonies that the Lord set forth concerning himself. These monuments to the depravity of man. You know, if mere words could do it, if truth alone could do it, if testimony, it would be done. But it's not, because man's more broke than that. And only God can fix it. And he'll fix whom he will. And not because there's any goodness in me. Not because I'm any better. Anybody else. Just because it pleases him, the Scripture says. So why did God elect you? Scripture says, because it pleased him. I don't know anything more. I don't know anything more. And it amazes me. I've never elected me. Okay, let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 208, How Happy Every Child of Grace. 208. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, this day that we meet, this day in which our Savior rose victorious from the grave. Lord, we thank you for what was accomplished on behalf of your people, that which they could never accomplish on their own. Father, we thank you for our Lord, for who he is, for what he did, for what he continues to do before the throne of grace on the behalf of his elect. Father, we can't comprehend this. As Paul said to the Corinthians, who caused a thief to differ from another? What do you have you didn't receive? Lord, there's no explanation but your grace. And we thank you for that grace. Lord, again, we pray for our brothers in the ministry and our sister churches. We pray for our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Lord, I thank you for bringing visitors our way, Marshall and Megan, Marshall's father. We just pray your hand upon them. Lord, we pray that you might guide all our paths, that you might give us wisdom and discernment, that we might know how you would ought. You would have us to live in this wicked and untoward day in which we live. Lord, by your grace, might we do that you would have your people to do. Father, we pray for our brother Prophilus. He's away from us today, that you keep him safe, return him safely to us. We thank you for this privilege to come before you. And we pray in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.